We are happy to be here. And Margaret and I don't sign up for the Prison Crusade, but we're available if Mervin needs us. So 3 weeks ago, he called and says we had a singing team cancel. So Margaret and I were a singing team. We get set up by these big, big families that come from everywhere because that's what Gospel Express likes. We were at Allendale Wednesday night, and the inmate that was responsible for helping set up was up there with us, and I was trying to set up, and he tapped my shoulder, and he said, "Let's just wait to set up till the singing team gets here." And when Joel Lamhoff was right beside me, and he said, "Oh, they are the singing team," as near panic looked like. He was like, "How's this supposed to work?" We enjoy being available for wherever we're needed to fit in and when we can. I've got an input this morning about God's Word. There are four things we ought to do with the Word of God. The first one is believe that it is the Word of God. That's important. Then commit it to our hearts and to our minds, to our lives. There's so much frustration that we see in prison ministry where false teachers are saying, all you have to do is say the prayer and you will be in heaven. It doesn't have to affect your life. But today, our Sunday school lesson was so clear. If it doesn't affect your life, it's not real. It's fake. Commit it to our hearts and minds. Then the next one is submit to it. If the Bible says it, I believe it. That settles it. And I'm going to live it as best of my ability. Commit to it. And the fourth thing is transmit it to the world. I don't know how to do a service in a free will church. I'm going to do it just like we do in prison. Sorry. That's what you get. And we've been working as a prison ministry since 08. And we started with people helping us, and they all left and quit for whatever reason, and we got down to the two of us, so we started praying, "Dear Lord, help, send somebody to help us," and Kind Heavenly Father chose not to answer that one, so then we switched our prayer, "Dear Kind Heavenly Father, give us enough talent to bring honor and glory to your name by ourselves," and he has blessed us. 25 years we were married, my wife and I did not sing together because she could not keep on tune, on pitch, unless she was standing right beside someone who was singing the same as she was. And we started, and I couldn't keep rhythm. I was horrible with rhythm. I frustrated everybody who tried to sing with us. So I started practicing with a metronome. And I switched from just straight strumming to picking individual strings like you'll see. And the guitar, we use it minimum, help her keep on pitch and me to keep on rhythm. And so what you have. Oh, you don't have, okay.
I can never quite explain how the blessed Savior came and took my sins all away. I only know he came to me, came one day and set me free, dwelt within my heart to stay. Now he is everything to me, and he will always be all I'll ever need. Love will satisfy till the day I die and through eternity. Until at last with him I stand in the heavenly land, he will walk with me. He's living. never to depart. He's everything to me. When the sun of life grows dim, I will still belong to him. He will still be all to me. Far beyond the rim of time, I'll be his and he'll be mine. Ever with my Lord shall I be. Now he is everything to me, and he will always be all I ever need. His love will satisfy till the day I die and through eternity. Until at last with him I stand in that heavenly land. He will walk with me. He's living in my heart, never to depart. He's everything to me.
He's everything to me. He's everything. To God be the glory. Two things that I want to talk about today, and they are transcendence of God and omniscience of God. Transcendence of God is he's everywhere. And immanence of God is the second one. They're almost paradoxical in nature. The transcendence of God means that God exists apart from and is not subject to the limitations of the material universe. He is above and beyond, surpassing and excelling, greatly superior to us. And then the other part of God is that he loves us and enough to care for us and to be with us. One of the songs that I really enjoy, written by Stuart Hamlin, says, "How big is God? How big and wide is vast domain? He's big enough to rule the mighty universe, yet small enough to dwell within my heart." The second verse goes, "As winter's chill may cause the tiny seed to fall and lie asleep till waked by summer's rain, the heart's grown cold will warm and throb with life anew. The master's touch will bring the glow again." There's so much about that we see every day when we're doing our prison ministry, because really hard-hearted men can be touched by the power of God, and you see their hearts warm and throb with life anew, and can come to a saving knowledge of Christ. I want to read from Revelation chapter 20, just because Revelation chapter 20 is where God describes what hell is. A few years ago, we had an inmate that was a very hard, some would say he was not at all intelligent. And psychiatrist said he had the mental capacity of a 7-year-old. He could read a little bit, but he couldn't read very well, and he had poor eyesight, and he had a death sentence. He had murdered a woman very brutally, and we would go see him, and he would just yell at us. And for some reason, some of you know Alva Yoder, our senior pastor, retired pastor. He got an extra hatred for Alva. Whenever he would see Alva, he'd say, "Hey, preacher man, come over here," and he'd stick his arms out, hit the cake through his gate, and he says, "I'll beat you to death right through these gates." He'd yell at him like that, and he could snarl in a way that showed all his teeth. I've never seen it look demonic. At any rate, he was given a date, And we went to see him the Saturday before the next Tuesday afternoon at 6 o'clock. He was going to be executed. And he was just yelling and carrying on. But during the night, my God, kind Heavenly Father woke me up. And I went to my computer and I copied this chapter in big letters, 3 pages, to get this so that he could for sure read them. And I copied John 14. And I took them in with me. And he was ranting and raving. And all of a sudden he got quiet for a little bit. And I went straight to his cage and I laid it on his food tray. And I said, Earl, I've got some more scriptures I want you to read. And he sat and read this. And all of a sudden he looked at me and he said, I'm not like this. You know that, don't you? I said, what do you mean? He said, I don't know how to act. How would you feel if you knew that you were going to die Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock? And I said, Earl, you have a tremendous blessing, because I can very likely die before you. I don't know when I'm going to die, but I said, you know, and you have a minute to prepare. And I said, those verses I gave you, hey, look at them. They tell about the lake of fire and the priest, and it says whose it's made for. And death and hell shall be cast in the lake of fire. And I saw the dead. Where am I? I've got it written down here. And it talks about the lake of fire. The devil that was deceived him was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, the false prophet, are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And hell, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But John 14 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye shall be also. That's the opposite side. And that's what we have when we know that. We know that difference. And can we stand in place and direct the traffic from one to the other? That's what we have. And then in Proverbs 3, I want to take a minute to look at that. This is where we get strength from. I want to start reading at verse 13. On Proverbs 3. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Okay, I've got a question. How do you define wisdom? And people define it in different ways. I like to define it as wisdom is knowledge correctly applied. I do not believe that you can have wisdom without knowledge. And knowledge is simply accumulation of facts. And the more we stay into God's word, the more facts that we can accumulate, and the more. Whereunto shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereunto thy law. Right? It works. I spent most of my adult life being a bench-warming Christian. I did not tell anybody about Jesus. I worked at Mississippi State, and I wasted so many opportunities. And I remember telling God it was his fault because he didn't give me opportunity, and I shouldn't have done that, because he started working really hard in my life when that happened. I couldn't memorize Bible verses. My brain didn't work that way. It just... It just didn't until I was 50 years old. You know how hard it is to start when you're 50 years old to do what you should have been doing when you were 20? And kind Heavenly Father's been very gracious to me in allowing me to have the ability to memorize now that I'm older and in ways that I never expected. And interestingly enough, the Holy Spirit does this to you. If you're in front of somebody's cage and you need to share a verse, it may be a verse that you tried to learn. This is what I found, a verse that I tried to learn when I was in grade school, that I finally had it memorized enough to say to the teacher and get the mark and then totally forget it. When I needed it, the Holy Spirit brought that back and I was able to share it. I thank Him for that. So no matter how hard it is, keep trying, because everything you can add to it, to your Bible knowledge, will help you. Wisdom is knowledge correctly applied. You go through life, you accumulate bits of wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things that can't be desired are not to be compared unto her. Length of days are in her right hand, and in her left riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is like a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down to dew. My son, let them not depart from thine eye. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they shall be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then thou shalt walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, and thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of desolation of the wicked when it cometh. I believe that having wisdom and doing the will of the Father is the best antidote. Well, right now, everywhere you go, there's this guy advertising a sump product called My Pillow. You can sleep by it. I always smile when I see these. Yeah, right. We don't have a My Pillow. I'm not saying we won't ever buy one, but it would surprise me if we would. But the ability to lay down and sleep in peace is an amazing thing. And the ability to acknowledge God in all our ways. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path. That's also Bible. How often do we acknowledge God? When I started acknowledging God in all my ways, I was surprised at how God chose to bless me. And I will take just a little bit of time. In 1992, we were at Mississippi State. We were working on a project, and we had a very heavy door that had to close both sides exactly the same way. They were run by two cables that went over to a winch. And in order for them to be exactly the same, the cables had to wind up exactly the same way. And most of the time, it came up cockeyed. And the engineers were sitting there that afternoon thinking about that. And they said, don't know how to solve it. We'll probably have to put 2 inches on to solve it. I went to bed that night. I said, dear Lord Jesus, it would be so cool tomorrow morning to have an idea to solve that problem. And I went to sleep. And at 3 o'clock, I woke up and I had an idea and I wrote it down. And the next day, I took it into Mississippi State and I showed it to my boss. And he looked at it and he said, go ahead and build it. By 10 o'clock, I had it built. Instead of 2 pulleys, I had 5 pulleys and 1 cable going to the winch, and it wound up and it leveled the door up and it worked every time. The guy from NASA was behind me and he said, wow, that's a good idea. That, and my boss said, that's too good of an idea for Mennonite. I didn't want them to know that I was Mennonite. I really tried to keep it from them. I couldn't. I was the Mennonite. Everybody knew. At any rate, I said, but it wasn't my idea. I told them how I prayed the night before, and I told them how I got woken up, and that idea came to me, and it worked, and it brought honor and glory to God because of that. When you give in all thy ways acknowledge God, he will direct your path. That's a promise. The first verse that I learned after I started actively desiring to learn verses was Joshua 1:8. Anybody here know what Joshua 1:8? In prison, a lot of them do. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I want to be prosperous, and I want to have good success. And that's a formula that always works. We live in a perverted world with a lot of entertainment and a lot of perversions all around us. And the way to counteract that is to stay in God's Word. Who do we reach out to? My Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him. I get a lot of robocalls. And one of them that really frustrates me is this girl keeps calling me and says, due to a recent change in our CEO, we have now reduced the requirements to qualify for a no medical health plan, that I want to ask you just a few questions to see if you qualify for it. And I said, I am so glad you called. For the last several years, I've been promoting a plan for assurance of eternal life. Have you heard about that? I said, I've got two questions to ask you. And I ask her some questions to see if she's qualified. And this is a song, it's called Qualified, and it talks about who is qualified. A blind man in rags sitting by the road, a rich young man in his flowing robes, a woman caught in sin, condemned to be stoned, a crippled man sitting all alone. A lady of the evening named Mary Magdalene, of 10 lepers crying out unclean. Even tax collectors hated and despised, from every walk of life they came, and they all qualified.
They qualified for a touch from the Master's hand. They qualified for membership in salvation's plan. They qualified by his blood for everlasting life. They waiting by his stripes, they qualified. Like the beggar and the cripple, the harlot and the thief, I battle sin and pain with no relief. I fought a losing battle till one day I realized Jesus gave his life for me. And when he bled and died, I qualified for the touch from the Master's hand. I qualified for membership in salvation's plan. I qualified by his blood for everlasting life. For healing by his stripes, I qualified.
Excuse me, sir. Do you have a name? Yes. Christian, are you human? You qualify for a touch from the Master's hand. You qualify for membership in salvation's plan. You qualify by his blood for everlasting life. For healing by his stripes, we qualify. By the precious blood of Christ, we qualify. night.
Did you need to finish the story about Earl?
About who? Earl. Do I need to finish? She says I need to finish the story about Earl. Earl read those verses between heaven, hell and heaven. And the next afternoon when they took him from death row down to where they execute inmates, he was baptized on the porch and prayed to receive Jesus. His mama told me later, of all her boys, she never expected to see Earl become saved. Earl was right at that time, three inmates from Kentucky sued in Supreme Court that the three drug cocktail was not humane because the first one paralyzed the body and the body could not show pain when the barbiturate was administered. And so the state put a moratorium on executions for until they could review it. That happened in May, and Earl's execution got put off until October. And the first time I saw him after the May date, he said, James, when I was baptized, I confessed every sin I could think of. But after I came back to my cell here, I thought of some things that I hadn't remembered that day. Does that mean I'd have gone to hell if they'd executed me? And I said, I promise you, Earl, that my kind Heavenly Father will not hold you responsible for something that he didn't remind you of and give you opportunity to make restitution for him. From May to October, Earl was reading the Bible he asked for, and we bought him the biggest print Bible we could. Lloyd Miller found it somewhere on Amazon, and we gave it to him, and he was asking questions, and he was happy. In October, they did execute him. His mama told me, he said, you know, in May, Earl, she talked to Earl, and Earl said, Mama, you're going to see me in heaven. I've been born again. I've been baptized. He says, I'm ready to go. But Mama, I'm scared to go into that room, and pointed at the death chamber. In October, he said, Mama, you don't have to worry about me. I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven. You don't have to worry about me. And Mama, I'm not scared to go in that room. That makes it worthwhile. Even it, that's why we do what we do. We want as many people to be directed from the one road to the other. We've got one more song. This is in closing, and it's called Come and See. I don't know what's wrong with that. It doesn't work like mine. I have credit to the sound man. He'd done an excellent job. Often when we go and we try to use somebody else's equipment, we think, wow, we've got our stuff right out there in the car. Why didn't we just bring it in and use our stuff? She was 12 years old, the Bible said, when life just up gave her away. In the hands of death, she reached for life. Her mother wept, her father cried, she's dead. But Jesus wrote a different story, another chance for God to receive glory. He woke her up and took her by the hand, restored to her life again. This is all they heard the young girl say. Come and see what Jesus did, when who I was met who he is. Come and behold, so you'll believe. Don't take my word, come and see.
Once again death came. left behind a trail of broken tears. Sickness came to Lazarus' life, an empty tomb his body soon would fill. So Jesus came and Jesus wept. He said, "Show me our brother in the grave." The stone was rolled up, prayer was raised, a voice rang out, death ran away. Belief was born as faith stood to say, "Come and see what Jesus did. When knew I was met who he is. Come and behold, so you'll believe. Don't take my word, come and see. I was dead in sin and trespass. My life and heart were just some broken parts. Fear and turmoil dwelt inside. This sinful life my body soon would kill. Then Jesus came, his spirit drew me. Come unto me, new life I'll give to you. Belief was born, a prayer was raised, my heart was chained, death ran away. Faith then came to prove that it is real. Come and see what Jesus did. When knew I was met who he is. Come and behold, so you'll believe. Don't take my word, come and see. Don't take my word, come and see. Please come and see.
You see, there's so much about the Word of God that I can't prove with physics or science. You have to come in touch with it. The story is told of a chauffeur coming to an airport to pick up an atheist that was going to speak at the university that night. And the atheist told us, the chauffeur, he says, "You ought to come sit in on the service." Some of you already know this. I see you're smiling. So after the atheist got done proving very eloquently there was no God, he asked if there's anyone say. He said, "I see my chauffeur come here. So what do you have to say?" And the chauffeur pulled an apple out of his bag and he wiped it on his shirt and he took a bite out of it. And he said, "Hey, sir, this apple that I'm eating, is it sweet or is it sour?" And the atheist says, "I can't tell. I haven't tasted it." He says, "That's right, sir. And you ain't tasted my Jesus either." You have to taste him. You have to come and see. You have to take that faith. You have to choose to believe. Now, this is from Bondage of Freedom. You have to choose to believe. God will give you the gift of faith. Faith is an intangible something that lets me know that the thing I chose to believe in is true. And the Bible puts it this way: the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's faith. I'm done. I'll close with a word of prayer and then I'll sit down. Kind Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege we've had of gathering together today. Father, I pray, Lord, that your word would speak to our hearts and draw us closer to you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the presence. I thank you, Lord, for the Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for choosing us and for drawing us to yourself. Dear Lord Jesus, there's so many others that you could have drawn instead, and yet in your omniscience, you chose us. Father, thank you. Be with us now as we close this service. allow it to stay in our hearts and our lives for tomorrow and this week and next week, that everything we do would be done to your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.